Welcome back once again. We're in the studio with Tara, Sandy, Janelle, and myself, Shelley. And we have been in Luke 7, 36 through 50, and just talking about Simon and the sinful woman. And so if forgiveness scares you, well, that was what we were told we were going to be working through last time. So...
I wish I could sing. I would love the song Forgiveness. You know, that's out. That's a big one right now. It's in my head, and I just keep singing it and singing it and singing it.
That one hits me so hard.
It's so beautiful. I wake up singing that song. It's just awesome. All right, so we're doing Luke 7, 36 through 50. And this is the day that Simon the Pharisee invites Jesus to his house for a dinner, and a sinful woman shows up, and she just weeps and blesses Jesus by cleaning his feet. And Simon judges Jesus and questions whether or not he's even a prophet. And Jesus gives a little story about, you know, the debt. One's a 500 denarii and the other's 50. By the way, 500 denarii represents almost 2 years' worth of wages.
Wow.
50 is almost 2 months.
Mm.
Okay, so that just tells you how huge these debts were. And and so Simon judges correctly, but then Jesus shows Simon how this sinful woman that, you know, he should have known, does all the right things in ministering to Jesus, and Simon doesn't. But the very end of this particular Bible passage, I want us to focus in on the guests. There are guests sitting around the table, the guests around the table, and then the guests within the house, the courtyard, and the people actually say, scripture records, they say, who is this that even forgives sins? And Jesus looks to the woman, you know, he had told her moments before, your sins are forgiven. And then he says, your faith has saved you, go in peace. And I wrote this down this morning as I was thinking about it. It's like, for the prideful one, Simon the Pharisee, Jesus gave a lesson. For the humble one, Jesus gave forgiveness and the ability to leave in peace. So how often am I the one receiving the lesson?
How often
am I the one walking away in forgiveness and peace?
Mm.
And because he does not give forgiveness to Simon.
No.
Mm-hmm. He shares with Simon what he actually did wrong.
He did. And you know what is interesting, too, is that he told Simon that he forgave her many sins before he told her.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting in the passage. Yeah, therefore I tell you that her many sins have been forgiven, for she has loved much, but he who has forgiven little loves little. And I think that was a direct point to him. And then he turned to her and said, your sins are forgiven.
But I like how he puts it, like sins forgiven and love, all in the same sentence.
That's good.
Which is perfect. You guys have just led into the question, and I was going to ask for us this time, how does forgiveness of our sins enable us to love? Why does that provide such a possibility? It's not her love that causes her to be forgiven. It's that she has been forgiven much, so she's able to love. Why is it that being forgiven of our sins enables us to love?
I think it's gratefulness.
Yeah. Okay.
And thankfulness.
Yeah. Well, and I think, too, it's like, I mean, for me now, knowing what Jesus did for us, that, you know, he died for our sins, I'm like, am I worthy of that? And then if he can do that, well, surely I can forgive the little whatever issues I'm having with some individual. I mean, why would I not be able to do that?
I always go back to, I don't even remember where it is, but where the Bible says, if you do not forgive, the Father will not forgive you. That one to me really hits me hard when I'm not forgiving people. It seems to come to my mind that I have no right not to forgive.
Me too, yeah.
I mean, I'm just like this woman. Many sins, you know, he forgave my many sins. And continues to forgive.
Janelle?
I think it has to do with what he says in the end when he tells her to go in peace.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when we're forgiven, I've never really thought about this before, but that we get peace, that it brings solace to ourselves. We become complete and full, and from that fullness we can pour out love. Mm-hmm. That when we have this debt that we need to repay, that we aren't freed to do things. Like, it feels difficult to love because we have this weight over us. But when we're forgiven and the weight is removed, we have this solace and this fullness and completeness of peace that we can just be freed to pour out from that and to love others from that sense of peace that God, that Christ gives us when he forgives us.
Mm-hmm. And yes. I don't think you can't love unless you know love.
Nope.
You know.
And the only way we're going to know it is it starts with what Shelley said, and it flows through what Sandy and Janelle just said. The one who is love gave the greatest gift of love. There is no greater gift than this, than the one who gives his life for another. And so because of his love, he died in our behalf for our sins to be forgiven. So when we take our sins, instead of running from our sins and hiding from our sins and excusing our sins and justifying our sins and all the things that we use to say it's okay, oh, it's just a mistake, you know, it's not. Sin is sin, and all of those things, when we take them and we don't hold on to them, we don't bury them, we don't run from them, we don't hide them, and we bring them to Jesus at the cross, he says it's finished. Mm-hmm. At the cross, it is finished. And that love that was poured out in our behalf at the cross pours in, and it fulfills what it says in Acts 3:19, that when we confess our sins, that a time of refreshing will come. And the peace then that he talks about through gratefulness and thankfulness, that when we make our requests known to him, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Why in the world do I keep holding on to my sins sometimes? Right. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Guilt?
Yes.
Yeah. We are ashamed that we're not supposed to carry.
Yeah.
We're supposed to give to him and know that it was dealt with at the cross. It was forgiven at the cross. It's not even an issue of forgiveness today. Mm-hmm. It was forgiven at the cross.
And we need to leave it there.
Right.
And so that's hard.
I think that's a cause of, you know, depression and things like that.
Yeah.
When, you know, it's like, you know, that guilt just carry, you know, just, it's like the black cloud over us or carrying the weight of the world. And when it took me a long time to understand, like, you know, forgiveness is about, you know, is really for us. And you know, whether we are forgiving somebody else, but
right.
even in Jesus forgiving us, it's selflessly for us.
Completely.
Is what he did. And so when we take those chains, when we get those chains off of us that we're allowing somebody else to hold on to us, it's so freeing, and it's the hardest concept to get your arms around because we feel like the victim.
Right.
But if we can, you know, in a lot of cases, if we can pull ourselves out, take the accountability where the accountability should be and what we're responsible for, we can start freeing ourselves.
Completely. And, you know, Scripture says to confess our sins so that we can be forgiven, and we are to forgive others. God forgives us, and we are to forgive others. Nowhere in Scripture does it say forgive yourself. Go read it. Seriously. Nowhere.
That's interesting. I never thought
Nowhere.
About that.
Because if I have to forgive me, then my forgiveness is greater than what Jesus did on the cross.
Good point.
That's very, very good point.
That was so profound for me because for a long time I would say and wear the adage, which is a Christian adage, I just needed to forgive myself. Well, that's dumb because Scripture does not say that. It does not say forgive yourself. It says go to the cross, confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness, and you are forgiven as far as the east is to the west, and then go and forgive as I have forgiven you. It doesn't say self. And I was like, oh, wow, because I was trying to take on control of that forgiveness instead of allowing the cross to forgive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's a hard, I mean, that's a hard concept. Just, you know, just like, really, he would do, and it's like, it's that humbleness. Like, really, somebody did that for me?
I know.
Yeah, I'm just imagining her hearing Christ say to her.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
your sins are forgiven. Mm-hmm. One of the most powerful experiences of my life, we were at a Dare to Share conference, and there was an assignment for the whole conference, major youth conference. It was everyone was to write down this sin that had been in their past and was plaguing them. And then they had every youth leader would come and like they would take the sin and rip it up and then tell each person the words, forgiven. You are forgiven.
That's awesome.
I don't know, just hearing it verbalized, it sent shivers down my spine. It was so powerful that even the worst sin that I've ever dealt with, that it's been forgiven and it's no more. It's not even a matter of forgiving myself anymore, because the person whose standard, God's standard, even he has forgiven me.
Mm.
And it's powerful.
It's huge. It's huge. There was a missionary, his name's Robert Falconer. Falconer. I'm not saying it right. And he was ministering to people in very destitute places. And he was actually telling this particular Bible story. And as he was sharing, there was a woman there just weeping and weeping and weeping, and she just could not stop. And he could tell that her body had been ravaged from the scars of smallpox. And she ended up asking, I'm going to read it because I wrote the questions down because what she said was so profound. And he's like, what's wrong? And she said, will he ever come again? The one who forgave this woman, I've heard he's going to come again. Will he come soon? And Falconer responded, and she began just sobbing uncontrollably. And she said, sir, he can't come. Can he wait a while? And she said, my hair's not grown long enough yet to wet his feet. Okay. Why is it we need that heart? Lord, give us that heart as we are listening, as we're talking, as we're dialoguing. Lord, give us that heart that I would want my hair to be so long that I could wipe his feet. Mm-hmm. And she's like, she so wanted his presence. We need to have that heart. We need to have that. And the people were asking, how is it that he forgives? And so the question I started asking myself is like, God, what is it then that hinders me from recognizing that forgiveness? What is it? And it came back to self-sufficiency.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Simon the Pharisee, he had it all. He had the home. He had the courtyard. He had the opportunity to invite anybody he wanted. If he wanted to invite the rabbi, come on over. I've got the money. I've got the needs. I've got the power. I've got everything that is needed. He was so self-sufficient. He didn't need the rabbi, but he could play with the rabbi. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so I wrote down this question this morning. How does our self-sufficiency shut off our need for forgiveness or the want to meet the need of others?
Something that God likes to do to me is to teach me how to trust. I keep learning the same lesson over and over again, and I keep thinking that I've already learned it, and apparently it's a growing process, learning it more and more every time, but I don't really trust him unless I don't have control. And so he likes to rip control out of my hands, and he's done it quite frequently. And it's, you know, once I get to the place where I'm no longer upset that I have no control, and I realize that this is so much better, it's an amazing place just to be able to trust him with like the entire control of my life, because he does it better than I do anyway.
I love it. That's beautiful.
Yeah, we like to be in control. I heard on the radio on the way here, they were talking about faith, or they said, what is the opposite of fear? And they said the opposite of fear is faith.
Completely. Always.
And I always talk about, you know, stepping out in courage. Stepping out, you're fearful, you still need to step out, but,
Robert Mattoon, R-O-D, sorry, I don't know where Robert's coming from. Rod Mattoon is a commentary writer, and he says that there were four types of people in culture. He's not just talking Jesus' day, he's just in society, period, and how they respond to the forgiveness of sins and what Jesus has done. He says there are those that fall in the category of critical skeptics. A critical skeptic is a person that says, no, no, he's not going to have the power. He says that there's the curious that asks the question, is that true? Could it be? Then there's the craver, the one that wants it and desires it, but, you know, hasn't quite made that tripping over into it. And then there's the confident one, the one that actually knows it, lives it, believes it. So he put it into four categories. But as I was looking at what he wrote, I thought, wow, there's really a fifth category, and there's the condemner. Hmm. And that's the one that's not even willing to even be open to it. You know, using his little alliteration with C's. And thinking through, I think at any given moment, I could be one of them as a believer. So a diagnosis comes for cancer, or your, as I shared, Enron, our my husband's company, when it collapsed, or ministry change. You know, am I a skeptic and not believing that the power can be made known? Or am I, well, could it be? Would it be? Or craving, wanting it, but not seeing it? Or am I walking in the confidence that I'm supposed to be walking in? I think that we could probably walk into any of those categories at any given moment, depending on what it is we're being tested in and how we're being challenged to walk forward in our faith. And so I want us to be thinking about, what does that look like for me? How am I being challenged to be the person who's the confident one? And what does that look like, that I be the bold lady, as you used the term, Sandy, in boldness to go and fall at his feet and weep? Mm-hmm. And do not be afraid to ask for it. Let's pray for it. Let's beg God. God, make me confident in knowing you are who you are. You do what you say you will do. You keep your promises. You fulfill your plan and purposes. Your word is true. I do not have to doubt it. Let me be the one that is so confident that I am the bold one that falls at your feet and weeps and blesses you. And so that's the challenge I want to leave us with as we're closing out this particular Bible story. I don't know about y'all, but I sure love the woman that anointed Jesus' feet with the oil. She's pretty beautiful. She's one of my heroes.
She is. She is.
I pray that I can look and be like her, that it'd be evident to those that are watching in my village, whatever your village may be, that they would see that heart. And so let's ask the Lord to move us out of Simon the Pharisee acts. Of just inviting Jesus to come and dialogue with him, but not necessarily allow him to change us, and move to have a heart of the sinful woman who said, you know, just let me love on you, let me minister to you, let me bless you with this oil. We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. May God bless you today as you seek to bless him. God bless.